You're tuned to WLTD in Evanston. My name is Chuck Shaden. The program is Those Were the Days, and today we're talking about Radio Chicago Style. In our studio right now is a man whose voice is very, very familiar to Chicago radio listeners. And if you ever listened to the Tom Mix program on the air, you might have certainly heard the voice of this gentleman. And I don't know if we ought to ask him to give us that opening. I think we ought to. How about it, Don? Would you like to give us that opening?
You better not do it without a rehearsal.
Go ahead.
Like, the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. And here comes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy.
Gee, if we had Curly Bradley here now, he could sing.
And Harold Turner.
Harold Turner. Yeah. Don Gordon, welcome to Those Were the Days.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hear so many nice things about your show that I'm flattered to have an opportunity to be here with your wonderful audience.
Well, thank you very much. We're glad to have you with us. Tell us about the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters.
Well, gee whiz, there's so many things to tell that, you know, you just... You better get me up a little closer, right?
All right.
Well, I don't know what you want to know about Tom Mix.
Well, let's talk about Don Gordon first. When did you first join the Tom Mix Ralston Straight?
Well, series? I started with Tom Mix. I was with Tom Mix from, I'll have to take it in reverse. We finished up in 1962, I believe. So it goes back to 1942.
20 years.
No, not 52.
I
we finished. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So 1942. That's right. And we started over on when NBC was split in two. It was two networks: mm-hmm. the blue and the red. And I believe we were on the red network or the blue. I don't know which. And we were over there for several years, and then came over to the Mutual Network, WGN. And it was just great. I lived through four directors, and I don't know how many, three different Tom Mixes.
Who were the three Tom Mixes?
Well, the last one, of course, the one that ended up the show, was Curly Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was kind enough to write these things down, you know.
Russ Thorson.
Yeah, uh-huh. Russ Thorson. And, I can't think of that other Joker's name. Well...
Wasn't really Tom Mix, huh?
Wasn't Tom Mix, no. Never met him either.
Well, you had a long run with the show. Did the show start back in 1942?
No, it started long before that. I think several years, as a matter of fact. And at that time, I was doing another, as we call them, kid shows,
mm-hmm.
Captain Midnight, which I worked with for the first 2 years of its life on radio. And those were good old days. We had, on Tom Mix, we had...
Mrs. Don Gordon is in our studio with us, too, and she's got the Don's cue cards here.
You're not kidding. I wish I could read them. I can't read or write it. Well, Fritz Blocky was a director of Tom Mix, Captain Midnight, and Bill Boucher, who I'm sure you've seen in a... 1,000 motion pictures,
mm-hmm.
and Ed Prentice, who was...
Ed Prentice was the first Captain Midnight.
He was the first uh-huh. Captain Midnight, that's uh-huh. right. And then the second year, Bill Boucher did it. The uh-huh. second year uh-huh. was recorded. Later on, it came to other people.
Don, when you were doing these the kid show programs, did they... You know, we've heard that the soap operas that were on from Chicago, and I'm sure you must have been involved in soap operas.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
And my good wife have... made a list of them, and gee, where is it, honey? I said, you don't need to write this stuff down. I'll remember it all in a film. Well, Ma Perkins.
Were you announcing these, or were
yeah,
you
that's
acting?
That's right. I was announcing them.
Uh-huh.
The Right to Happiness, which was really a New York show, but I did the commercials from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And Road of Life, that was a show, one of the Erna Phillips shows. And...
Well, Chicago was the home of radio back up until about the I guess the early 1940s.
Well, at the very height of the success of daytime radio in Chicago, we figured it out one time. We were doing, feeding to the network, 57 shows a day from Chicago.
A day?
57 shows.
From all the different states.
They were all five-week shows,
uh-huh.
Daily shows. But 57 shows went to the network from Chicago. And that was a lot of...
What's the most number of programs that you were on in a given day? Can you recall?
Well, I think about six. And you had to move pretty fast sometimes. We had one very successful announcer here. Well, he was an announcer and an actor and very aggressive. And he was, I think, on about a dozen a day. And that was kid from St. Louis. Went to California. Marvin Miller. And he would actually be on two at the same time. He would be the announcer on a show and slip out the door of the studio into another studio and play a part on the show. He was very, very good and very aggressive.
Were you ever a member of the infamous Bridge Up Club? I guess that's the club that you were a member of whenever you were trying to get from
EBM
to the Merchandise Mart, and then the bridge was up, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It was a thrilling thing.
You did staff work at almost all of the major stations, right?
Yes,
here.
I was on staff at NBC and at CBS and later at WGN.
Mm-hmm. When you did Tom Mix or even Captain Midnight, were you involved in doing repeat broadcasts for the West Coast, or did you have
always
to do the same show more than once?
Yes, we did it. We always did it in the earlier days. We always did it twice. Mm-hmm. Once for the East Coast. That was the early period, then for the Middle West, on the Middle West time. And I had a very funny experience. It wasn't funny. It was almost tragic because I almost died of a heart attack.
Mm.
We had always done this. This was the only way it was done. And one day, between the repeats, I had an errand to do someplace else. We usually just sat around and played cards. It was a 45-minute wait. And I had an errand to do, go get my car or something, and I came back, and this was over at WGN, and Mary Affleck was the director, and the second show started. And just after we started, she broke in and using some rather profane language, told us that we had done it wrong. Well, I thought the end of the world had come, that this woman had gone crazy. So we started again,
uh-huh.
And the same thing happened. And then it developed that she was playing a record. And it wasn't going out. It wasn't going to the network. But in the meantime, they just about lost me and several other people.
No,
because the rest of the boys didn't know it either.
Well, that's
Maury Copeland. Now, you know Maury Copeland.
Oh,
he's
yes.
an actor, a successful actor here in town.
Right now, he's out at the Forum Theater.
That's right.
Appearing in
mm-hmm.
The National Health, I think.
Oh, is that it?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know the name of the show.
Uh-huh.
Maury actually was ill. Made him ill.
It did? Well, yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. We've heard stories from, and I've chatted with people who talk about these things, and then there's always it seems that to me the one thing that always is a common denominator between everyone who worked in Chicago radio or any radio, I guess, was that they wanted to do as much as they can because it was the only way that they had of making a living, and so that's why they did the doubling up. But they, in every case, they all have taken their work seriously. They were not flippant with their broadcast work. They might have been flippant the minute the on the air sign went off, you know, but they all took their job seriously. And what you've said points that up. I mean, your reaction to this joke and Maury Copeland's
was the end of the world. That's uh-huh. all there was to it.
What was? Can you remember any pretty bad flubs that really did get out on the air?
Well,
we can talk about today.
They usually are a little profane, so I'll skip it. But we had some dandies.
What kind of reaction, talking about Tom Mix again for a second, what kind of reaction did the program get from its very large listening audience?
Well, it was a practice of the sponsor, which was the Ralston Purina Company mm-hmm. in St. Louis, to take us out on the road on occasion. And
uh-huh.
Book us into other cities like Denver or St. Louis, and the audience response was just fantastic. Sometimes we'd have 15,000 to 18,000 people come to just to watch a broadcast. And usually what they tried to do was to book this in conjunction with some other appearance in the city, and a rodeo or something like that. And it was a... People took it so seriously, and kids especially. Of course, we were beaming the show to kids.
Yeah, but there are a lot more than kids in the audience, I think.
I think there were a lot
of the moms listened in, and more than just a few fathers were tuning in, too.
I presume so, sure.
Well, the kids used to listen to the soap operas, you know. We'd be home from school sick or something like that.
You know how things have... pardon me. How things have changed. Prior to World War II, and even after that, all through the war, there was never anyone shot on the Tom Mix, fatally shot on the Tom Mix show.
I didn't realize
people
that.
Were wounded, but no one was ever killed by gunshot. This was absolutely forbidden on any of the kids' shows, as we call them. You just didn't kill anybody. They were wounded. They'd shoot the Tom would shoot the gun out of the other guy's hand, but never shoot him fatally.
Is that why the Lone Ranger always just winged people with
that's right.
Silver
Nobody ever got. And it was a pretty good idea, I think.
Well, the stories ran. Were you? Was the program on these 13-week cycles, or did they run?
Well, not just exactly 13 weeks. Sometimes the sequence would run maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Rarely 13 weeks, not that long.
The sequence, the story sequence.
That's right.
Yeah. But when the program was, well, I guess Ralston sponsored that show for the whole 10 years, didn't they?
Well, it was on longer than that.
Longer than that,
because
yeah.
Tom Mix was on. Yeah. Yes, they always sponsored it. And as a matter of fact, we had Charlie Claggett was the man at the agency in St. Louis, and a wonderful, wonderful man he was. And we were, I think, one of the few shows of all time that was paid for a summer when we weren't on the air. They paid the actors so that we'd be around for the night,
really?
For the fall. They paid, apologized for only being able to pay us half of our salary for the summer. And it was really a wonderful thing. Naturally, we were all back in the fall. They wanted to be sure that we'd be there, but they went off for one summer. Otherwise, we were on 32 right straight through.
The whole time, huh?
Yeah.
No kidding. Did you ever miss a show because of, not necessarily because of illness, but because of circumstances beyond
No, I was always pretty good at getting there.
Uh-huh. How about anybody else in the show? Did Curly Bradley or any of the other actors ever run into a problem like that?
I had a very bad experience once at NBC on another show. This was not the Tom Mix show. It was during the opening of Congress, and I believe that... the president was making a speech that NBC was picking up. It was some speech from Washington. And it had been agreed that if this speech ran past 5 minutes after the hour, if we were to start on the hour, if it ran past 5 minutes, we weren't to do our show. But if it was under 5 minutes, we had a substitute. This was one of the soap operas. We had a substitute script. And so the 5 minutes came, and the thing was still coming from Washington, so the cast was dismissed. I happened to be stay in the studio for some reason, and about 30 seconds later, we got the word that we were on. The actors are all gone, so I gave the review of yesterday's show and what we might expect to hear tomorrow and what we were going to hear today while they're rounding up the actors, and they found them in all places, men's and ladies' restroom and every place else, and they had to get them back in there after I stalled for about 5 minutes.
But no one would ever have known the difference anyway on those soap operas because was their run-of-the-mill routine anyway, wasn't it?
Well, some of them did take quite a long time to...
We had Eloise Kummer on the show with us last Saturday afternoon, and we played a Right to Happiness broadcast. And it was amazing. It was a two-character episode with Eloise and one of the men in her life, you know. And It just went on. I guess straight 8 minutes there, and they really didn't accomplish a great deal.
Talk slow.
And just really slow and all that. And it's funny to listen to it today because we're really not very well oriented to that kind of drama because we've been so used to seeing everything laid out in front of our eyes on the television, you know.
Well, Erna Phillips, who wrote so many of those shows so successfully and really had most of them, the slower the better. Mm-hmm. That's the way she wanted it. And she was right. She knew what she was doing. Most certainly she was very, very successful and still has some of the daytime television shows.
Oh, I think they just called her out to the coast in the last week or so to use the hypodermic needle into one of the...
But she can do it. She really knew the business.
One thing really great about radio, I feel, was the fact that... while the programs were, they weren't, we talked about 13 weeks or 10 years or longer running of a show, but they lasted for years and years and years, and they lasted with the same sponsors. They had instant sponsor identification. Now, Tom Mix has been off the air for 20 years, I think, and yet there isn't a person who ever heard Tom Mix on the radio who wouldn't say that the sponsor was Ralston.
I believe that's right.
You know. And the same thing with, I'll quiz you. Yeah, you would remember Captain Midnight was sponsored by... Skelly Gas was
Skelly,
the original
that
sponsor.
That was Skelly.
Yeah.
Was the, that's then, when I worked with it,
but
yes.
Then there was a... see, you were working. You weren't listening.
Well, they were on...
Ovaltine, of course.
Ovaltine, that's right. Yeah.
But so many of them had long running. Well, Jack Armstrong was sponsored by
General Mills.
Wheaties, the breakfast of champions.
Yeah. General Mills. Yeah.
And that was really the thing you could identify with that. And I don't think television, you can't hardly remember who sponsored a program last night, let alone for 10 years. You might remember in the early days of TV because Texaco sponsored Milton Berle for a long time. And Godfrey was on for Lipton and so forth. But most of the time now, it's just, you can't...
Excuse me. Speaking of Jack Armstrong, Charlie Flynn, who was the original Jack mm-hmm. Armstrong, his mother was Bess Flynn, who wrote Bachelor's Children, which was a long-time radio mm-hmm. success out of Chicago. So I think about almost 20 years, and I announced that the last few years it was on the air. Charlie Flynn has been living down in South America. He was with General Motors, I believe. He was a practicing attorney and a very successful businessman and has just moved back to the United States. And his mother, who is close to 90, uh-huh. is now living over in Detroit with her daughter. And a dear, wonderful, sweet woman, a nicer one never lived. And that had anything to do with radio than Bess Flynn. God bless her.
There's so many people from the Chicago area who stayed close to Chicago, even when radio kind of deserted us here in the Midwest. And I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of them, I include you, too. And everybody that I've ever met with regards who has ties to Chicago-style radio have been the greatest type people that I've ever met.
They're, well, I there was a spirit about radio. Everything is competitive, of course, but the people were different because everybody was trying to help everyone else. If frequently people would say, gee, they're having an audition over at such and such a place, and you ought to be just right for it. Even though they might have auditioned for the part, they suggest that you go over and try to get in on it.
It was a different kind of...
never been anything like that.
I've heard people say similar things, and they said that in the East, it was a totally different picture.
It was. I worked in New York for a year, and it was quite different, yes. And you thought it was going to be like it was in Chicago, but it wasn't. This was during World War II, and it was different.
Rita Ascott, who played Faye on Ma Perkins, has said that... they pulled all the shows from Chicago to originate them in New York, see, and then they'd go to New York and they'd audition actors and actresses, and they'd say, no, you won't do, you have too much of an Eastern accent, we need someone with a Midwestern accent. She was always frustrated at the fact that here they moved everything from the Midwest, where there was an abundance of people from this community who would be perfect for these roles, and yet they had to draw them from the Midwest out to the West, to the East Coast. Don, Do you think you could take a very large helping of nostalgia now as we listen to a Tom Mix program?
I'd love it.
Huh? Think you could transport yourself? Let's see, this is a program from May 8th of 1945.
So this is recent.
Yeah. It's only 27 years old. See, this would be, the scene would be WGN then in 45, right?
That's right. And I want you to know that I started on Tom Mix as a boy actor.
As a
child actor.
Well, certainly we understand that too. All right, let's go back to May 8th of 1945. This is the famous VE Day episode, and it's the end of the war in Europe. And listen carefully through the 15 minutes that follows, because you'll find how they must have adapted the script to suit the occasion, even in the dialogue of the artists, and also in Tom Mix's message in there. And of course, the first voice you hear will be that of Don Gordon. Let's tune in. Yes, sir. Don Gordon speaking. Don Gordon was the announcer on Tom Mix. And Don Gordon is our guest in our studio today. Don, did that little 15-minute clip bring back some memories?
Was that only 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been a half hour.
No, 15 minutes.
We did a lot in the short time.
Did everything.
I think it was just terrific. Really was. I think it was just terrific.
Well, I'm glad that you could hear it again, and we're glad to be able to share these memories with our listeners every Saturday.
Forey Lewis only played two parts in that one, but he always played two parts, and...
You had, there was Mike Shaw, we heard Mike Shaw on that show, Leo Curley was Mike Shaw.
Leo's no longer with us.
Boy, I don't think anyone who ever listened to the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters will ever forget those suffering sourdough and what was it? What was the other one he said there?
Thunder.
Boy, those were good. And you know the sincerity of the people on the program. You know, we really believed as listeners to the show. I mean, there was no question about it. You know, we were into the show just 1 minute, I think, and the whole stage was set again. It was as though nothing had happened since yesterday.
Well, you know, one of the things that struck me during the playing of that thing was Curly Bradley or Tom Mix doing the commercial at the end and is waving the flag, as mm-hmm. we would put it today, and how severely this thing would be criticized by parts of our society today, that anybody could have the effrontery to be as patriotic as uh-huh. this company that sponsored this show was at that time. They were just simply patriotic. That was the United States of America, and they were supporting it all the way.
Well, those days are gone, maybe, but I think still today people support the United States of America, and maybe they do it in different ways. And but it really is refreshing to, you know, there. I think there was only one commercial on this show at the beginning. In other words, what they did was...
Well, this was a very special day, of course, and they were cooperating, I think, with the tone of the time.
It's a great thing. And, you know, we often play random episodes of... of the kids' shows like this. Later on today, as a matter of fact, we're going to have Jack Armstrong, and we're going to listen to a Captain Midnight episode.
Well, now, in all fairness, I must say that some of the times when we had a special offer on the Tom Mix Show, the commercials ran for 6 minutes, and they had an announcer talking as fast and as hard as he could for about 6 minutes. That's how I held my job.
Well, sometimes, though, weren't the some of those premiums, they were woven right into the story.
Always on Tom Mix, yes. This was a part of the gig.
I remember that. I can remember one Tom Mix show. I can't remember whether I actually remember it from hearing it back in 1943 or if I remember listening it from a tape, but Sheriff Mike Shaw had a whistling sheriff's badge, and he actually used that during the course of the story to get help,
yes.
You know. And Captain Midnight always had new decoders, and they'd make a big pitch about the fact that the 1943 decoder now was here, and so the 42 decoder was obsolete.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got the 42 decoder, forget it, you know.
Buy more breakfast.
Right. Don, do you have many of the Tom Mix premiums of your own?
I wouldn't have had, but my dear wife, Margaret, has saved a lot of them, and She's an antique buff, and she reads the antique magazines and antique books, and some of these things are worth $40 or $50, these little gimmicks that were worth a dime, you know, at that time.
And I don't think we even had to send anything in for them.
A box top. You always send a box top. Yes, and maybe... Maybe 10 cents in a box.
For postage and handling.
Yes.
They used to say, right?
Postage was cheaper then.
Yeah,
too.
Well, that's right. You could get, I remember, of course, sending a penny postcard, you know, or something. You never.
Now, if it was postage and handling, you'd say enclose a dollar.
Yeah, that's right. Those were the days, weren't they?
Well, I don't know. They were, and all the days are good days.
But it's fun to remember fondly those the good days from the past, and I think I'm always in a good position because I have a chance to bridge the sound gap between yesterday and today with the type of things that we do, and I want you to know that right now I'm speaking on behalf of all of those people who are tuned in this afternoon who remember the many, many hours and weeks and months and years of listening excitement that they had from people like yourself who helped get us through those exciting afternoons. And I want to thank you for your part in it.
That's very gracious of you to say that. But I assure you that the motive of most of us was more mercenary because we were well paid and the work was easy. It was better than working for a living. That's where we used to put it. And really, the simplicity of radio, we rehearsed one of these shows for about an hour and a half, or if that. And that was just standing there in casual clothes reading the thing from a script. And it was a very simple thing to do. It was easy work, and the pay was good.
But you see, I really shouldn't call this a lack of preparation. Maybe that was all the preparation you needed. But what you could do with that hour's worth of rehearsal, what you and the sound man and all of the other actors could do, I mean, you really transported the listener from wherever they were out into Tom Mix's territory or Captain Midnight's Secret Squadron or whatever it was. And whether it took 5 minutes, you know, it didn't make any difference to us as a listening, as a part of the listening audience, what it took or why you were doing it. The most important point was that what you were doing, you did very well. And what came across on the radio was a quarter hour of excitement. You said it seemed like a half an hour. I don't know if you meant that because it seemed tedious or if we got so much into it. But those 15 minutes, they just went by like a flash. And, you know, we had Tom Mix and Captain Midnight and Superman and boom, 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 one right after another in the afternoons. And the whole afternoon, that was our reason for coming home from school.
Sure.
And that's our reason for inviting you to spend some time with us today.
Well, John, it's been very nice, and I've enjoyed it, and enjoyed hearing. Unfortunately, on Saturday, we're generally up in Wisconsin, and I haven't been able to listen to you, but I'm going to get a different kind of a radio where we can get you at that time.
Well, we'll be happy to do that. In the meantime, we're going to give you the not even a reasonable facsimile of this. I'm going to give you a copy of the Tom Mix show we just played, so you can put that along the shelf with
really
your
generous
whistling rings and sheriff's badges and all that. Don Gordon, thank you very much for spending some time with us today. And Mrs. Gordon, too, thanks for prompting in the background. We appreciate your being here. And we'll be right back after this.